All right. This is a podcast that's focused on words.
Seems appropriate.
Excellent. So they say to master something, you need to spend about 10,000 hours in that field. Mm-hmm. But this is about what can you speak on that's about 10,000 words around, right? Like what subject could you speak on that'd be around 10,000 words? And so it got me thinking about, well, you get a couple of guys together and they may not talk about much. All of a sudden someone says sports or D&D or a movie, weather, whatever. And the bucket gets turned over and next thing you know, you're chatting for an hour. But it's about just surface level stuff. And so I wanted to ask you, what do you think you could speak for about 10,000 words of?
Oh, goodness. I mean, probably a lot of it falls in my hobby stuff. I mean, you know, anime, video games, comic books, more recently, more reading. I mean, we talk about like all those, the books that we try to versatile our talking points on.
Sure.
And then art history for my degree's sake, just
right.
Spending that many hours, I mean, not quite 10,000, but quite a few hours into having a degree that touches a lot on art history. I can probably talk about that quite a bit. I think what's interesting too is just because you can talk about it doesn't necessarily mean like you can do it justice. Like I know people that like think oh, I'm knowledgeable on X, Y, and Z. And you're like, you don't know anything, dude. You think that
he's a walking filibuster.
Yeah. Like, well, I need to hit a word count for today. I mean, kind of like when you're trying to finish those like college papers, you're like, and therefore it has been said.
You need one of those little clickers. And we're done. You hit your count.
But yeah, I'd say about those. I mean, we talk a lot about what we're reading in the Bible. So whatever I'm kind of reading that time frame, I can talk about that quite extensively. But I think it's interesting to see kind of where everyone's passions lie and how much they can kind of like talk about things. I mean, there's people in my Bible study, and one guy is he flies planes for a living. It's as his job, and it's interesting to hear him talk about, you know, his job and the kind of what he does. You know, they're flying, you know, a specific person around, what that entails, or like what happens when you land the plane, that kind of stuff. And so, I think it's interesting that you have these people in your life that have these areas and these moments that they're like, I can talk about so much. And very often, as guys, we're very internally focused. Like, well, I really don't care that you're flying a plane. I want to get back to me and how awesome I am, kind of thing. And so sometimes we kind of overlook those those conversations, I think, and try to like, well, as soon as you finish talking, as soon as you take a breath, I'm going to jump right back into my thing about, you know, whatever. So
anyway, back to me.
Back to what I said, the Brian Regan. So like, I drove on the moon. So, yeah, it's an interesting concept because we very rarely think about the other person in that conversation.
Right.
We always are like, there's the running joke of I'm just always trying to think of where I can insert myself into that conversation.
I think when I heard this concept, I was thinking around, what am I passionate enough that I could speak about for, you know, whatever the goal is, 10,000 words, 1 hour of speech, whatever it is. I think you have to be passionate about it. Mm. You know, as you know, we kind of do our day job, so to speak, speaking about boring things like digital marketing and SEO and web development and that kind of stuff. I think we could hit that mark there. I think speaking around different parts of the Bible could be definitely something that I would be able to do. But you can see that it's something around what you're passionate about. I remember you and I were driving back from, I think it was some day trip in the mountains. And there were some people in the back seat, three of them. The two on the sides were dead asleep. And one in the middle was awake. And then you and I were in the front seats. I was driving. And we got back in toward the city. One of the people on the edges woke up and said something. I heard a middle person say, well, these two, they haven't shut up since they got in the car. We talked about all kinds of topics. But you can see that you need to be passionate about something to talk about it a lot. Mm. And just because you chatter doesn't mean it's important.
Sure.
And so, you know, I made a couple of notes here like my faith, men's ministry, definitely.
Yep.
Entrepreneurship, family, football, New Orleans,
mm.
food, and coffee. And so that's kind of my list that I would have no problem. People would be like, okay, TJ, right. Is there a rest area to the story kind of thing? So calling timeouts. And so I think as we dig into this topic, I think the question is, can you identify your passions? Because just because you talk about it or you spend time doing it doesn't mean you're passionate about it.
Sure.
I know a bunch of guys that if you would ask them about their job, like you would, you know, that's on my list, you know, entrepreneurship. If you ask him, hey man, how's work going? Fine. I mean, it's a terrorist situation. All I'm missing is your name, rank, and serial number. So you can see that you need to be passionate about the topics that you can discuss kind of in depth. And I think it's important for us to make an effort to round ourselves off in different areas, spending time in God's Word, talking to other people. We spend a lot of time listening to audiobooks. And, you know, it's really an art form when you watch someone speak and they can connect to the audience and they're entertaining. Because it's just words, right? It's just them painting mental pictures in your mind. And so...
Sure. Well, I mean, how many times have you and I had a conversation where we're listening to a book and we're like, this voice of this dude sucks hardcore. Like, I didn't want to finish a book because it was so bad. And then we've had ones where I'm like, this person loves what they wrote about. Like, Atlas of the Heart book. That author, she loved what she wrote about. And you could tell when she was talking about it. And so sometimes... I think you can feel that. Like when you're having a conversation with someone who truly loves the Lord, you know, loves their job and is fulfilled in those areas, they're talking about it. It just like comes off them in a way. They can't help themselves, right?
Yeah.
And oftentimes I think you can see that in those lists of passion things, our faith tends not to be on those lists, right?
Right.
We find that, I can't talk about my faith. That's a taboo topic, right? I you know.
I'm very private. I can't talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a private worshiper. That's all I do kind of thing. And so we are called to spread the gospel, right? And you can't do that if you're not passionate about it.
And you can't, I don't know how you reconcile becoming a believer in Christ and then completely overstepping the Great Commission.
Mm.
Right. And so, unfortunately, the Great Commission is going to involve words.
Got to talk to people.
You can't spread the good news by just being, just with action only. You have to tell them, well, why are you doing this? Mm. Well, I'm glad you asked. But I can't tell you that because I've hit my word count for today. So I'm over here smiling because a friend of mine said that, and it's not on my list, you know me and my love for neck fans. So I bought this neck fan, and it's actually sitting on the table over here out of the shot. I bought it last July.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it's hot outside, I'll put it on. I cut grass. I go everywhere with it. I mean, I love it kind of thing. We'll walk kind of thing. It's great. Well, I have some friends. We went to dinner one night, and I don't know when this happened, but I was probably telling him about the neck fan. And so he went home, and he bought the neck fan. And he tried replacing his car air conditioning unit with this neck fan. It's a fan, not AC. And he's like, this thing doesn't work. And next time I saw him, he was laughing. He says, I think you oversold that neck fan. And it made me think of how much time do I spend talking about that neck fan in the sense of, that would be something I'd be, hey, the neck fan people, I don't know what the name of the thing is, jiu-jitsu or something like that. If that's a product that I could sell, I can move for you. You know what I'm saying? So But you can see that, like you mentioned about someone runs across a person that is, I don't know, they find value in something, they can talk about it easily. Right. And so it's interesting that one of the challenges in this section is, what if you are a self-proclaimed Christian, but you can't speak about your faith for more than 20 to 30 seconds? Mm-hmm. What does that say about your faith?
Right. I mean, this is always the fruit, you know, that the tree bears is, you know, tells you the health of the tree.
Right.
You know, if someone can look at you and look at a non-believer and say, I can't tell a difference, that's a problem.
Sure. And I think that is many times that may be because it could be they're just new Christians. They're mm-hmm. still learning.
Sure.
They're still growing. But you have someone who comes across as they may have been a believer for a while, and they're always very scared to talk about their faith. It makes you wonder, how authentic is that faith? I don't quite know. But that's between them and the Lord, just mm-hmm. that, you know, by their fruits they shall know you, right? So, you know, if you can't really talk about your faith, what does that say about your faith?
So. Yeah, and I mean, and this doesn't denote the idea that you have to, like, run around and just, you know, always the first thing out of your mouth is about sure. the gospel kind of thing.
Right.
One of the things that I've started doing more recently is anytime I'm talking to someone, I'm always talking about, I always try to name drop people from my Bible study and specifically mention my Bible study.
Yeah.
Or, and I was able to use it a lot when we first moved into the house. I always just kept saying, yeah, Lord really bless us with this house.
Sure.
Trying to use vernacular that can be used to further those conversations
yeah.
if the person is willing. So it doesn't have to be like you pass someone in the hallway and say, oh, you got 10 seconds? I got a Bible right here. We're going to go through this.
Right.
It can be something as simple as conversation and vernacular you can
sure.
use. But I do think that if you hear that and immediately shy away from that conversation or that kind of like makes you a little frightened, that needs to be a heart conversation and a little more
right.
depth about why you feel that way and then having some prayer about that.
Yeah, I think our scripture reflection here is 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 and 11.
Get it from the fan, not blowing my pages away.
It's not the neck fan, it's just the fan in general.
Let's see, number 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah, you can see that there's obviously different spiritual gifts. We're not really yeah. talking about that. We're just talking about basic, you know, like I could give a testimony.
Yeah.
Or I could talk about, you know, kind of, yes, we go to church, we're in Bible study, what am I reading right now? I think that's the one that I get people with. Like if, you know, I really want to kind of like ring a bell, I'll say, so what are you reading in the Bible right now?
Yeah.
And either you got to be quick on your feet to say, oh, I have a book of, you know, pick something. Or they're like, oh, well, I haven't really read my Bible in a while kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be a trap. It's just meant to be a conversation, a start of that. Shine a light on, well, I mean, we should both be more time than that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our pastor recently mentioned this of like, as soon as you step outside the church service and you're driving to lunch or to home or whatever, and the conversation in the car is not about what was just talked about. All yeah. it is about is, so where you want to go? You want to get tacos?
Right.
You want to get pizza?
Right.
You know, maybe that conversation needs to be readjusted.
Yes, yes. And we kind of have that conversation quite often when we leave church. And so, yeah, it's, if you don't want to talk about that, either you may have been convicted by it or it may just fell on deaf ears. So as we finish up this section here, we want to mention that at this point here, our membership has re-released. So we have expanded our membership to an all-access platform. So if you are an existing member before September 1st, I hope you are enjoying all-access, baby. And we got things coming at you this second half of the year that we're very excited about. And so if you are a new member, welcome to the membership.
Welcome to the area.
Welcome to the area and enjoy all access to all of our content. So be sure to check us out at uncommon.org. Stay tuned for our segment sponsors. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Okay, welcome back to 10,000 Words. Now, it's funny. They say a woman speaks 10,000 words in a day, and a man speaks, 4,000 or 7,000?
I'm sure that this is like the seven spiders in your sleep thing, but that's always what I remember right. Growing up.
I do not think that at all, but it gives you a word count, right? Mm-hmm. We average a few thousand words a day. We're talking about today about, what are you talking about kind of thing. What are you talking about? So this segment is about building your knowledge base. So studies indicate that becoming an expert in any particular subject requires about, like we said, 10,000 hours of practice or study, and that's from Malcolm Gladwell in his book in 2008. Mm-hmm. Being knowledgeable about your chosen field, I think, is a little bit too easy of a test. You should know what you're working on. So sure. If I was like, go ask my sister-in-law about biology, she teaches it, she should be able to like, I'd be like, oh, okay, I get it, you're smart, I got it. But outside of that, right, what are you speaking about confidently and effectively? So I had to go look it up. So if you spent 10,000 hours to get proficient at something, if it was a job, say, it would take about 7 years worth of work.
Okay. 40 hours a week?
40 hours a week. Oh, and that's wow. accounting for learning speeds, mm-hmm. vacation, holidays, sick time, all that kind of stuff. About 7 hours. I've heard before it was five, but when you factor in millennials and, no, I'm just kidding. Just in general, that those speeds can be different. Mm-hmm. About 7 years.
That's a long time.
So maybe if that gives you a little window into, okay, well, what have I done and invested myself in, let's just say, for about 7 years worth, maybe that list, like my list from first section, and I go look at that again, I'm pretty sure I've invested some time on all that.
Yeah.
My faith, men's ministry, entrepreneurship, family, football, New Orleans, food, and coffee. Mm-hmm. All those boxes are checked, baby.
Expertise.
Yes. So lessons learned, like deepening our knowledge. So dedicate some time to study and experience a chosen topic. So is there something so I know you just bought a phonograph, and I have phonograph envy. I'm just like Jones, because I grew up with that. I'm Jones, and I'm like, ooh, what would I get if I got that? Have you done some research? And if so, how much time do you think you spent there?
I probably have been off and on thinking about doing or getting myself a record player probably for the last 2 years. I've been seriously doing research for probably the last, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
We grew up, you exposed us to, Frank Sinatra, Miles Davis, and, Led Zeppelin, a lot of the oldies that most kids my age probably don't really know that well. But, so I've always had a very deep relationship with music. So that spurred on my desire to be a little more strategic about, I'd love to hear what that would sound like on a record. Mm. Now, I'm not very much a research person. Heather and Mom are much more research-oriented in details. So there's that. And this, it's interesting with the idea of, 7 years of time. It's a long time, which can sound very daunting. And I think what happens in a lot of circumstances, especially with people talking about their faith, is they feel like, I got to put 7 years in before I can talk about it effectively.
Sure.
And so that kind of feels like, I can't do that. And right. So I'm not an expert, and I feel I can't talk about it. But, I think it's interesting that the more I learned about record players or, food or whatever we're talking about in the scenario, the more I felt comfortable talking about it for longer periods of time.
Bingo.
So I didn't wait until I put 7 years into reading about record labels players to buy one. I learned about it, and I'm still learning about it kind of thing. And I think that's the first hurdle that it's hard to overcome, but it's you don't need to be an expert to start talking about your faith and your statement.
Sure. Jesus called the disciples, right? His earthly ministry was 3.5 years. It wasn't 7.
Yeah.
So if we get caught up on that number. These guys were brought in at the foot of Jesus, and then after the resurrection was sent out on the Great Commission and to spread the good news, right? Mm-hmm. So you can see that number of 7 is just a kind of working out what that 10,000 equals to. But in the sense of, like you said, the more time you spend on that, the more you can talk about it effectively. And there are going to be times when you have a believer that comes to Christ, and then I can't recall the person's name who said this. He said, but there is none more annoying than the recent convert, right? So that person is like, because what it means is that person comes to Christ and they're like just on fire because what they have come to conclusion of and what Christ has done for them, and they just want to tell the world, right? And if all of the believers that had been in there for a long, long time kept that fire, right? And so, but deepening your knowledge is definitely in this section, and also the continuous learning.
Yeah.
Staying curious, keep expanding your knowledge to stay relevant and engaging. I can't recall a time when I was not reading the Bible in some fashion. I came to Christ in 1995, and I don't think I've ever stopped reading the Bible in some capacity. Like, what I used to do is I read the whole thing, and then I go back and I read the New Testament, and then I read the whole thing in the New Testament. That's usually the pattern. But then I'll stop and kind of like, I'm going to do Romans, I'm going to do Hebrews or whatever kind of thing. And so right now I'm in the third year, the third quarter of a third year reading plan. And so I'm in the tail end of Jeremiah, and I'm ready at Jeremiah to wrap it up. But I think that's the more you spend time doing anything, playing guitar, listening to music or whatever, the more you can talk about it. And as a believer, I think it's important for our faith to be number one on that list so that we can talk about what Christ has done for us.
Sure. And I do want to preface this, because it's very easy, because I know there are some people out there that think, oh, well, I go to church every Sunday, so I've been reading the Bible for as long as I've been going to church.
Sure.
And while, you know, the church is, you know, we're talking about gathering the saints, and, you know, when, you know, it's a congregational worship, you should be on your own outside of church and a Bible study with other people, on your own, reading God's word, praying studying it and marinating in that, because, right, you know, this is a personal relationship between you and the Lord. So I want to mention that, because I know some people can be like, oh, I go to church, and right now we're going through Nehemiah,
right?
And be like, well, I've been reading the Bible, kind of thing. It's like, not really. You need to be doing your own thing.
Own thing.
You know, waking up early, staying up late, whatever the case may be, listening to an audiobook or whatever works for you. But you personally diving into the Word.
Right. Because God's going to speak to you in a different way than He speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference of reading the Bible and studying the Bible.
Yeah.
Reading the Bible, someone can be reading it to you like an audiobook kind of thing. But studying the Bible is different. You unpack expositionally Scripture, each word. What are they talking about? Like, so my small group, we've been in Romans for about 3 years, and Romans is a hard book to get through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that it's like Lamentations, just that it's complicated. It's deep. It's meaningful, and so you don't want to rush through it. So just reading it, you don't do yourself any service.
Yeah.
Studying it, it'll change your life.
Yeah.
So what's funny is that, so as we flip it a little bit, I wanted to kind of like shed a light on how we usually spend our 10,000 hours, right? Scrolling through social media. How much time do we spend there? Binge watching reality TV or any TV. I know when Saints games come on, I'm booked for 3 hours. Right? And mm-hmm. so I've been watching football for a long time, back when I had hair and long before that. So another one that showed up on social media, it's a twofer, arguing with people on social media. Apparently that's just a thing.
Those keyboard warriors.
Right. Shopping online. Mm. Now we've gone from preaching to meddling, what they say, right?
I'd say that's shopping just in general, too.
Shopping in general, right. How much time, now guys may say, like, I don't do that. Mm. We might do our fair share, just differently.
Yeah.
They're guys wandering around Bass Pro Shops all day long.
I could use another fishing rod.
Dressed head to toe in camo. You had to buy that somewhere. So, this one says, taking too many selfies. I'm not quite sure. I don't know anybody who's investing that much time, but
personalities online, maybe.
Sometimes when we'll sit down, mom and I, or we went to get a coffee this past weekend. We sit down, I'm getting ready to take a bite of the pastry or drink. It's like, ooh, take a picture. There you go, right there. Yeah. Obsessing over fantasy sports.
Uh oh,
fantasy football. I'm talking to you guys. Researching your teams. I have a friend who just got involved with for the first time with fantasy football a couple years back. I said, you kind of ready for your team kind of thing? He said, oh, I have 26 leagues I'm in. 26 leagues. It's only 32 football teams in the NFL.
He's I want one of each.
He's pulling for and against every single player in the league. It's crazy.
Every game is an internal struggle.
Oh, yeah. I love and hate that guy, too. This one's a crazy one here. Reading product reviews for things we'll never buy. It just seems weird. But you can see that it's meant to show that we do spend time on things. We might not spend the time on the right things.
Sure. And we've talked about recently with you being intentional about it, such as putting on your calendar, can be a really great way to avoid doom scrolling and stuff like that. Because, you know, most time when I'm sitting there going through TikTok or whatever, I'm not meaning to spend that much time kind of thing. Next thing you know, you're like, oh crap, it's 6 o'clock. It's time to start cooking dinner or whatever. Mm. You really want some sobering thoughts, look at the usage on your phone. It'll tell you a breakdown of social media, iMessage, and all that kind of good stuff.
Right.
And it'll tell you, like, oh, you've spent 20% more time this week. Or, right. You know, your percentage of this much battery usage. So that can be a good, instead of losing weight, just focus on losing time on your phone.
So every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, so we need to go to church. As I'm pulling out of the garage, I get that notification.
Yep.
And it first came up, it's like, you know, you spend, I don't know, 8% more time. You don't know me.
Based off whose metrics?
You don't know me, iPhone. So, yes, that is a very sobering statistic, and it kind of plays into that. So, our scripture reflection for this segment is Proverbs 1:5.
Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the ones who understand obtain guidance.
Hmm. Speaking of increased learning, the Uncommon newsletter. Hello. Every Saturday we send out our newsletter. If you're signed up for it, you get it Saturday. If you do not open it, guess what? We hit you again Sunday. So it's a twofer. It doesn't cost any extra. Saturday's free and Sunday's free. Welcome to the area. So sign up for our newsletter today at uncommon.org and stay tuned for this segment's sponsors. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Studio 490 Digital Marketing. Elevate your business with Studio 490. Our expert team offers tailored web design, SEO, Google Ads, and social media management. Visit studio490.com because your success story starts today. Okay, welcome to our final segment of 10,000 Words. This one is about crafting the message. So we spend time. We spend time learning stuff. We spend time, in areas expanding our knowledge kind of thing. Now it's like delivering the message. Mm-hmm. And so according to public speaking experts, effective communication involves 80% preparation and 20% presentation. That's out of Forbes 2022.
can see that.
So, you know, crafting a clear and compelling message obviously is key to keeping your audiences engaged. Now, that's too stuffy for the common conversation. Sure. But let me tell you about how not to have a conversation. So I had a friend who loved to talk. I always loved to talk to him. But it almost like I didn't even need to be there. Once he started, I mean, taking breaths were a challenge for him. It just like was kept rolling. And he would do something. He would start, like he's talking about, like, I don't know, a car. The car I bought yesterday was red, and it was a sidebar. And he would tell you a different story and then come back to the original story. He would do that probably 6 times during the conversation. Sidebar. What am I, a judge? Were you approaching the bench? What are you talking about? Just tell your story, and let's kind of communicate about that. That is not how you tell a story to someone. But taking some time to frame your thoughts and speak to someone, with someone, not at someone, mm-hmm. and then here's a novel approach, wait for a reply. This is a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. You're sharing information. That person may also have spent 10,000 hours or 7 years mm-hmm. in that same topic. You may be able to communicate back and forth. And so it's interesting. We all communicate differently. It's like the Tower of Babel is everywhere. But it's strange that so many people struggle with communication. Mm. We deal with this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
With business. And
that's a professional setting.
And even in this ministry, we see guys that they really struggle to engage. They really struggle to commit to something. Or they commit to like 6 different ministries and don't benefit themselves from any of them. So how do you guys, when you're speaking with people in your small group, do you find that all of you speak pretty similar? Is vast differences? That because your age group's about that mid-20s, right?
Mid-20s, and then I think we have a couple that are 30, 35. So
old people, gotcha.
Like a 10 age gotcha. Kind of gap there. I would say this, we kind of run the gambit. I mean, there are some people that are very confident when they're talking, and they can talk about almost anything. Very knowledgeable people. Some people are very, very quiet, and you kind of have to draw it out of them, spend time kind of like, you know, nurturing that person, that conversation. I think that is one of the things that pop up is often like, not only are, you know, it's daunting to have that kind of, that spiritual conversation, but also how do you gauge the person's and how they talk, right? Because I've spent a lot of time reading small talk books and how to communicate effectively, because I really wanted to figure out how to communicate myself better, how to understand other people and the sure. psychology behind it, and that was interesting to me. So I found I was drawn to that. And what I've realized is there's a lot. And it just there's like 10 billion different ways to have a conversation.
Sure.
And it's because each one of us is just so unique in our sure. conversation and sure. speak. And I think it's the unknown part that I think is the biggest part that comes up as a problem, mm-hmm. right? You're like, I don't know how this person's going to respond. I don't know. I don't feel like I know the answers to all the questions, maybe. And just like those are those things of like, I don't feel qualified to talk about it. And so they just don't talk about it.
Right? Sure. Sure.
One of the greatest advice I ever heard when in regards to talking about your faith was, you know, you are not there to answer all their questions.
Yeah.
They have a question about something. You say, you know what? I really don't know the answer to that question. Let me get back to you on that. Or, hey, do you want to do a study together about that?
Right. What a great question. I can spend time kind of looking into that for you. Or we can learn that together.
Yeah.
Many times, I mean, what you're kind of talking about seems like someone may be asking you, so what do bad things happen to good
right,
people?
Right, yeah, those kind of questions.
Things, you know. we're kind of talking about that, but also just common communication in general that would engage people. We're always catching everybody on a different curve. Because you're having a good day. I mean, everybody's having a great day. You know, there are morning people. There are night people. There are people who on-time people, and there are late people. Ooh, now I just opened up Pandora's box, right? There's all kind of things that makes us different, but there's so much more that makes us more in common, right? And so speaking about something, obviously the goal here of this message is to be able to speak about Christ, but just speaking to each other opens doors to have that conversation, because rarely can you go from, hello, my name is, can I tell you about Jesus? Mm-hmm. That's difficult, right?
Yeah.
And so having a conversation with someone and talking about, you know, hey, what's what you guys doing? Well, today we went to church, you know, had lunch after us kind of thing. And it's going to take and relax the rest of the day kind of thing. I don't think anybody who knows me at that level doesn't know that I'm not a believer, mm-hmm. right? That you know that. It just oozes out. But I have a platform to do that. And, you know, I'm 30 years into my faith, and I don't really care about people. And they're like, oh, well, I don't believe that. Okay, well, that's fine. You don't have to take and believe how I believe. I'd love you to, but that's not something that we need to, like, burn the bridges over. Mm-hmm. We can continue to be friends, continue to minister to you, and talk about things. And so I think that is something that come out of this topic, is to continue to learn to communicate, learn what to communicate, and then learn how to communicate.
Yeah, and there's plenty of resources out there that can help you do that, too.
Sure.
I mean, I think the biggest hurdle that I overcame that helped me get better at it was putting myself in the other person's shoes of same way I want to talk about how great my day is going or what I'm interested in is how they want to talk about their interests and what they're doing, and letting them have that kind of platform and then building that relationship that way.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean,
I tend to be a questioner. Like, especially if I don't know the person, I'm asking questions. I turn to, like, Frank Drummond from Police Talk or whatever it's called, Police Squad. I'm going to ask questions. And by doing that, that pulls that person into, oh, so you're into bike riding. I don't know why, but I can always do the Kevin Bacon thing association as well. My neighbor is kind of a semi-pro a racer. Mm-hmm. And I have a cousin who loves motorbikes. I can find something, or I could just say, well, tell me about, do you ride a lot? Do you compete? Mm-hmm. What kind of bike do you have? I think if you show interest in someone like that, it starts to lay that groundwork of communication. Now, that person may not be as well versed. And after the questions stop, the conversation ends right there. They're like, oh, man, you asked me all these questions about me. Great. We're done. So, oh, okay. I guess we're all done. You know, so the challenge to organize our thoughts before we speak, and do not do a sidebar story for the love of goodness. Be your person you're talking to will appreciate that, and thank you for it. Mm-hmm. So our scripture reflection here is Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That is a big request, because you just said, well, I don't quite know if I could answer every question. So interesting. We're called to do that. And so that's why it's important for us to spend time in the Word,
yep.
so that we can do that. And also, when we can't answer, the Holy Spirit gives us the words to do so. So anyway, so that is our section, our podcast on 10,000 words. Let us know in the comments, what could you talk about? 10,000 words worth of topic. Let us know. Are you into woodworking? Do you like racing cars or rebuilding them? You love cutting your grass. Have you ever run across somebody who loves cutting their grass?
I hate cutting my grass.
I have a friend who works at Lowe's. He loves cutting his grass. He loves showing up his neighbors. He's like, oh, man, I went and bought a striper. I put it on the back of my lawnmower so I can get stripes on it. I'm like, I'm just trying to get myself back inside.
I'm trying to beat the rain that's happening tomorrow.
How basically. Many neck fans do I have to wear and not die?
Got them here. Grass? Got them on my shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
Come with the Michelin man waddling outside.
Hey, if you take in a comment, hashtag neck fan, who knows? It might do a giveaway. That's all I'm saying. So, our devotions are on our website as well. We've been doing some revamping as we do our new memberships, and one of them is called the Devo Plus. Mm. And so our Devo Plus is a 5-day devotion that comes with a supportive, interactive workbook. So be sure to check that out. We have tons of content on our website and then more on the horizon, which we're very excited for. Be sure to check us out at uncommon.org. And so, Joshua, hit them with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.
Amen.